Lent is not a season of answers, but of holy questions. Questions that linger, unsettle, and gently refuse to let us move too quickly toward certainty. Questions that invite us to slow down, to notice what is stirring within us, and to listen more carefully for the voice of God along the way. This Lenten season, we are leaning into that sacred posture with our theme, This We Ask, Wonderings for the Journey. We hope you'll join us each week as we wonder together about various stories from Scripture, allowing the questions that emerge to challenge our assumptions, open us to new possibilities, and invite us into deepened honesty about who we are and who God is calling us to become. We begin with two stories this week. First, from Isaiah 58, where God confronts a people whose religious devotion stands alongside their own practices of injustice and neglect. And then Jesus' temptation in the wilderness, found in Matthew chapter 4. Together, these texts challenge us to examine the authenticity of our faith, asking whether our devotion is shaped by performance or by transformation, and whether we trust God enough to resist the easy promises of comfort, certainty, and power. In this episode, Ann Gallagher, Associate Pastor for Congregational Engagement, and Bailey Morton, Director of Youth Ministry, explore the questions that launch this season. What does faithfulness to God require of us? And what do we cling to when this same faithfulness leads us into the wilderness?
Friends, hello, and welcome to this first episode in our Lent series of the podcast. Bailey, I am so delighted to be with you today.
Hi, Anne. I'm happy to be here.
Bailey, I'm going to take this opportunity to quote you to you in all of your infinite wisdom. You once said something in a youth staff meeting that I was attending that you just said it kind of offhand, but it really stuck with me. So you said, Lent always comes on time. And so I wondered if you might share, if you remember saying that, what did you mean by that? Or what do you think this season of Lent has to offer us as Christians?
Yeah, I vaguely remember saying this.
Love it.
And I'll say, I was thinking about this. I feel so much pressure about a new year. Like, it takes so much energy and manpower and bandwidth to make it through the holidays, to make sure that everything looks good, feels good, is gifted well, making sure that I'm also like staying focused on the reason for the season. And then we wrap up the holidays, and then all of a sudden it's like, okay, go do that big new thing,
right?
Or make that resolution. Or I feel like I spend so much of the month of January, and I know comparison is the thief of joy, but being reminded of how inadequate I am.
Yes.
And how I don't have a resolution, or maybe I already failed it. And so with Lent being a springtime liturgical season, kind of on the tail of New Year's, there's something about the collective truth-telling when we say life is actually really hard. Or I also feel inadequate, that makes me feel so known and held and in community that Lent to me after the new year comes as a relief.
Yes.
Almost, as an exhale of like, okay, we can all tell the truth now. Thank goodness.
Right. It's like an antidote to that relentless messaging that we get from our culture that wants us to view ourselves as invincible almost, or like totally, like if you just put your mind to things, then you can you know, become this new person, like new year, new you. And that is extremely exhausting. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I think you're exactly right that it comes at such a helpful time where you've just been cooking in that messaging. And then to have a moment to say, let's actually confront the realities of our humanity and our limitation. And that seems really wise and helpful. And so your past self that said that, the wisdom still stands. And I'm grateful that you have given me that little phrase to keep with me. Well, so the first day of the season of Lent is Ash Wednesday. And listeners, this podcast is coming out in anticipation of Ash Wednesday in just a couple of days. And I will admit to you that Bailey and I both have a deep shared love of this day and would perhaps even name it as a favorite day in the church calendar. So, Bailey, what is it about this particular day, Ash Wednesday, that you love?
Yeah, so kind of like what I said before, I really do think Lent is the most honest time we have. And we mark that season with the words, "From dust you came, to dust you shall return." For some of us, it's a hard truth. Mm. And for some of us, it's a really comforting truth.
Right.
I also think it's a pretty universal truth.
Right.
In that from creation we came, to creation we will return, mm-hmm. regardless of where you come from. Maybe even what you believe, the language that you speak, your socioeconomic status is a thread.
Mm.
A thread of truth that I think unites us.
Mm-hmm.
And to that communal piece, I also think there's something really poetic and beautiful about Ash Wednesday, recognizing that we are anticipating a journey together where mm-hmm. we take up solidarity with the suffering Christ. But on Ash Wednesday specifically, we physically bear the ash,
mm-hmm.
we bear the reminder of the collective suffering mm-hmm. that we have all experienced. And there's just something, again, that makes me feel less alone mm-hmm. about that. So often our culture is preoccupied with perky platitudes and perfection, and again, keeping up new year, new you, but also just like trying to be the best student or being the best mom or being everything to everyone. And I think when we slow down in Lent and exhale and remind ourselves that we are finite mm-hmm. and so is everyone else around us, there really is some relief in that. And just, you know, as a deeply feeling person, I also love when people join me in the longing and the yearning
yes.
because those are probably some of my favorite feelings.
Yes.
And so when other folks kind of join my camp of longing and yearning, but then also telling the truth and saying life is hard.
Yes.
And there is hope at the
right.
end
right.
for like it is a season, just like anything else. There's just something so poetic and communal mm. about that I love. Ash Wednesday makes me feel less alone.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. I feel so much tenderness towards Ash Wednesday for a lot of the reasons that you named. And one of them in particular is that the concept of anytime we do something that's embodied, like anointing or something that involves touch, mm-hmm. so like the imposition of ashes, it makes me weepy. Like mm-hmm. there's something about touch as a part of worship that our sweet Presbyterian selves who get really caught up in our minds sometimes can neglect that element of kind of an embodied faith. And so to have the opportunity to like have someone touch your forehead with this messy ash and to see the smudges, like the visual of imperfection that mm-hmm. to your point, like just gives us so much freedom to stop pretending or to feel like we have to have it all together. I think that is just, that always comes right on time for me also, like mm-hmm. that embodied experience and that visual reminder. And I think too that the presence of Ash Wednesday or of Good Friday or Holy Saturday, even the concept of the season of Lent, like having those things to me makes me feel like the story of our faith is one that I can trust
mm.
because it's real.
Yeah.
It's not, it's interesting. Sometimes I think, you know, we have like a sense of like Christian triumphant mm-hmm. victory and that kind of thing, which is not not represented in the story of Jesus,
right?
First of all, but just not true to our experience. And so the fact that our faith takes seriously this confrontation with humanity and with suffering and with the places where we fall short of God's call, to me, that is reassuring because it's reflective of real life.
Mm-hmm.
And so the idea that we don't just rush straight to the hallelujah of Easter, but we take that measured and intentional time to confront the hard things, that's really comforting to me. Because again, it just feels like telling the truth in a world where we're not often issued that invitation or encouraged to tell the truth in a way that feels really like walking in integrity based on our experiences.
Well, and how often do we internally think, does anyone else feel this way?
Right, right.
Or looking at the state of the world, like reflecting, is anyone else seeing what I'm seeing?
Yes.
And so to journey through an intentionally stoic season,
mm-hmm.
but kind of to your point of having the physical marker on our foreheads, on our hands, the mark of dust on Ash Wednesday reminds us that the answer is yes.
Mm.
Other people do feel this way. Mm-hmm. Other people are seeing what you're seeing, and we there's permission to be honest about it.
Right, and that we are all made of the same stuff,
mm-hmm.
especially in this moment where, you know, division just feels like the theme of all of our lives and all the aspects of our culture, to be reminded of the unity of being made from the same stuff, and which is dust, like the humility in that, all of it, I just feel like is such an antidote to a lot of what is going wrong in our culture right now. And so I am longing for Ash Wednesday and for the season of Lent this year in a particular way. So friends, our primary scriptural text for Ash Wednesday this year, one will be Psalm 51, which is a really classic Ash Wednesday text that's very confessional in nature. But the other is from Isaiah. It's Isaiah chapter 58, verses 1 through 12. I would encourage you to pause the podcast and take a moment to read that if you'd like to, or if you're driving or walking and want to return to it later. It is just absolutely filled with gems and so many words that when you hear them, they're super familiar. And so this will kind of help place where some of these phrases that we hear often in hymnody and just in liturgy and throughout our vocabulary of faith, I think you'll see a lot of those come out of this text. So essentially, the text begins by naming the hypocrisy that the prophet is seeing being displayed by the people of God. So the prophet tells us that the people are essentially going to worship. They're doing all the quote unquote right rituals, doing things like fasting or almsgiving. But then, you know, in the very same breath, they're turning around and oppressing their workers and doing things that are not acting with justice or with mercy. So the prophet is saying that God is not interested in these performative displays of faith, and especially not ones that are disconnected from the ways in which people are actually living their everyday lives, the way that they're showing up in their families and in their workplaces and how they're treating people who are on the margins. And there is so much wisdom here about the call to fasting that is in service of God's dreams for the world, things like justice and peace, for the oppressed to go free. But on this reading, something that has kind of caught my eye is that it is so easy, and I think we do this often as readers of scripture, where we automatically cast ourselves as the good guy, where we're like, oh, I'm totally with Isaiah on this. Like, we are seeing the same thing. We are on the same wavelength. And so it's very easy to pass judgment on the hearers of Isaiah's critique and to say, like, oh, we would never do that kind of thing. Like, that's so obviously hypocritical the way that they're acting. And in the spirit of truth telling, which is the invitation of Lent, I think if we are honest, we can all admit that there are times where we are guilty of that disconnect between what we say we believe and how we act, or maybe what we know Jesus is calling us to and then how we actually respond. And so what I'm thinking about right now, Bailey, is how might we confront that sort of disconnect during the time of Lent?
That's a great question. And it makes me think of kind of like what we were talking about before, about just culturally, the pressure to be everything mm-hmm. and to do everything, and how I wonder how many of us have accidentally absorbed a mentality of like, we want to ace Lent.
Right.
We want to, I'm going to have the best Lenten practice, and I'm going to have a 100% success rate, and I'm going to be everything to everybody, and I'm going to ace Lent.
Right.
And even I'm guilty of that. I still am thinking about, you know, practice versus performance.
Totally.
But I think what is true is that Lent is not a checklist. It is a journey. And I clearly remember having a conversation with a student. Her name is Annalise, last year. Mm-hmm. And she completely transformed how I conceptualize Lenten practices. I remember I was telling her, she had asked me, she said, Bailey, what are you doing for Lent this year as your practice? What are you taking on? What are you fasting from? And I had mentioned that I was doing some type of fasting from screen time. Mm-hmm. I don't remember the details, but I told her, I was like, yeah, and I think it's going to be really hard. Like, I don't know if I'm going to succeed. I think mm-hmm. I actually said the word succeed. Mm. And Annalise, I think, was 15 years old at the time. She kind of looks at me and was like, don't you think the falling short and the messing up is kind of the point, though? Because what, right?
Yeah.
Right? And Annalise, if you're listening, this has never left me either. it's not about succeeding or acing your Lenten practice, but I wonder what it could look like if we challenge ourselves to go beyond performance yes. and to give ourselves permission to fail. Mm-hmm. Who then do we turn to? What do we turn to? What is our response when we fall short and, I don't know, act human?
Mm.
That I think there's an invitation to even reframe how we consider our own practices altogether, maybe even expecting that we're going to fall short.
Oh, yes. Which that makes me think about, I think we have all, I'll speak for myself, had times where I have chosen a Lenten practice that on the surface was pious mm-hmm. and underneath was self-serving.
Guilty.
So like, you know, you want to give up caffeine or a particular kind of food or whatever, but it's actually in service of you like feeling better or looking different or whatever the thing is. And so that is so reflected in this text to me from Isaiah, that is not that far away from what the people are doing here, which is to have these kind of like hollow rituals that are not actually centered on the right thing. And so like from the outside, the practice of fasting that they're doing seems like it's in service of faithfulness, but in reality it's kind of self-serving because it's like a pat on the back, like for them to feel good about themselves, so that then when they turn around and oppress their workers, they can still say like, oh, well, I was, you know, fasting. I was doing these faithful things. And so, again, like there's such an invitation to see ourselves as those people and to be okay with that, because we are finite and constantly in need of grace. And so Lent, I love what you said, Bailey, about like having the permission to fail and to recognize that God's grace does not run out mm-hmm. and that it is a reminder of our perpetual dependence on mm-hmm. God's grace, that we never come to a place of like having practices that are perfectly, our intentions are perfectly pure mm-hmm. just because we're humans and mm-hmm. that is okay. And that God will continue to meet us in those places and call us into deeper faithfulness.
Yeah. Who are we to trick God?
Who are we to trick God? Yeah. Amen. I think that this question that we have been kind of pitched for this episode about what faithfulness to God requires of us, I think particularly in the season of Lent, I think what we're both suggesting is that faithfulness to God requires a radical honesty about who we are and where we're falling short. And so, too, an honesty about who God is and how big God's grace is and how we are unable to put boundaries on it. And then the other thing that strikes me is just this need for humility, that it is so easy to be in the position of the folks that are being referenced in Isaiah 58 of living into our faith in ways that are actually hypocritical or not not focused on the right thing, that like become self-serving.
So as we are continuing to consider scripture, the gospel text for the first Sunday in Lent comes from Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. And again, we invite you to spend some time with these scriptures off the podcast on your own time. But this Matthew story is the familiar story of the temptation of Jesus. We know that Jesus is led into the wilderness for 40 days, and he is constantly tested by Satan or an advocate. So, Anne, I wonder, how might this story inform what it is we cling to when faithfulness to God actually leads us into the wilderness?
I love that wilderness is such a rich theme during Lent, because again, I think that it's really reflective of real life. We all have experiences of seasons of wilderness and times of temptation. And what strikes me is how in this text, every time that Satan, however you want to conceive of Satan, pushes or tempts Jesus, that his response is rooted in scripture. And what that tells me is that Jesus has spent the time to be steeped in scripture in such a way that he has this recall, like it's a part of him, such that he has this really rich well to draw upon. And so I don't want this to sound at all like a way of like failing to measure up, to say like, well, we need to be as familiar with our scriptures or something like that. But what I do mean to say is that I think that the times when we are in the wilderness, we often find that there are things that we have been doing, that God has been doing in us, that prepare and sustain us for that time. And the more that we can put ourselves in the path of receiving that wisdom from God by spending time in scripture, by spending time in prayer and devotion, that there's a sense of kind of like spiritual vitamins that whenever we are taking those things in, they become a part of us and they stick with us. And so that when we are in the wilderness, we have these reserves to draw upon of the story of God's faithfulness as it's reflected in scripture, which can often be really helpful when we're having a hard time articulating or seeing that faithfulness in our own lives. And so I'm thinking about how in the season of Lent especially, it's always helpful to have something that's time bound when we're trying to commit ourselves to a new practice. And so I'm wondering about even just the practice of spending more time in scripture during Lent, so that, well, I don't even want to say so that. That is an end of itself. Like spending time in God's word is a worthy way to spend our time no matter what. But I do think that that, again, just builds up our reserves so that we have these words and phrases to cling to when we're in a season of temptation or in wilderness. When we first started talking about the Isaiah text, I was saying that there are a lot of words and phrases that come from that text that are super familiar to us. And that is such a gift to me of having grown up in the church, is having through liturgy and hymnody and all sorts of different things in scripture, having this shared vocabulary that we can draw upon not only when life gets hard, but maybe perhaps especially when life gets hard, that is such a gift of faith, I would say. Mm-hmm. At least in my life, it has been.
I also think while having a season makes some of these practices feel more accessible, like reading, spending time in scripture, like fasting from something, like taking on something. But just like any other season, I think we are then called to reflect and consider how this might impact our lives, our regular rhythms as people of faith. And so what would it look like to take our stored vitamins, our stored spiritual vitamins over the next 40 days, and then really consider how we might massage those muscles every other day when it feels like people aren't telling the truth, or when it feels like people aren't feeling what you feel or seeing what you see, or telling the truth about what is. That I think, just like any other season, it is a call for us to grow and to continue wondering and approaching with curiosity. And recognizing that while the season helps it to feel accessible, it is not meant to limit us.
Yes.
And so what then does it look like to approach the day of hope and then taking the practices of the past 40 days with us into, I don't know, August, November?
Right.
Yeah.
Yes, I love... Like, we started this conversation talking about truth-telling, and what I'm hearing in what you're saying, Bailey, or what's, like, coming up for me is that that, too, is a muscle that we build in the season of Lent, and where we're doing that together in a communal way. But it's not that we get to Holy Saturday and then, like, put that all away and turn to Easter and it's all celebration and roses from here on out.
Yeah.
But that even as the story of our like communal, the way that we're following the liturgical year and that kind of thing, even though we do take a turn into Eastertide and kind of like access a different level of emotion or tap into a different side of our faith, that the call remains to hold on to that muscle of truth telling so that when we are confronted with situations of injustice or just when we're, you know, totally confronted by those messages of like our limitless ability and that kind of thing that leave us exhausted, that we've put in the work together to remember what it means to tell the truth and how that can allow us to remind each other, give each other permission, not just during the season of Lent, but throughout all of the year.
Yeah. I think about the phrase that we use on Ash Wednesday, from dust you came to dust you shall return. And myself included, I feel like we get preoccupied by to dust you shall return during Lent, and especially on Ash Wednesday. But there is a first part, from dust you came.
Right.
And there's a song called Beautiful Things that reads, ooh, beautiful things out of dust. Hope is springing up from this ground. You make beautiful things out of dust. And so I also want to remind all of us that even in the hard, even in the sober, in the fasting, in the taking things on, in the honesty and the truth telling, I think some really beautiful things can happen. There are all kinds of buds that can come and sprout from dust. I think our call really is to continue to tell the truth and tell the truth together.
Amen. Amen. Oh, gorgeous. And shout out to the On Point Band for their beautiful rendition of Beautiful Things by Gunger. Well, in closing, and this is very apropos of what you were just saying, Bailey, I have a favorite blessing from Jan Richardson that's called Blessing the Dust. And I will never forget one day when I was in seminary, I had a professor whose children had learned that the day, you know how there's like a national day for everything,
yes.
like hot dog day and all that stuff.
Yes.
Okay, so apparently this was National Poem in Your Pocket Day.
Incredible.
And so all the kids had little poems that they were keeping in their pocket and they were trading them. It was very cute. So she extended this practice to our class and she cut out all these different poems and she encouraged us to grab one and then we had them in our pockets. And the one that I happened to choose was Blessing the Dust by Jan Richardson, and I still have the exact piece of like crumpled paper that had been in my pocket. It's framed in my office, and I think it is written about Ash Wednesday, but it's just gorgeous all the time. And so as our sort of ending in our benediction, Bailey, I wonder if you would read us that blessing.
Yes. Here are these words from Blessing the Dust from Jan Richardson. All those days, you felt like dust, like dirt, as if all you had to do was turn your face toward the wind and be scattered to the four corners, or swept away by the smallest breath. As insubstantial, did you not know what the Holy One can do with dust? This is the day we freely say, we are scorched. This is the hour we are marked by what has made it through the burning. This is the moment we ask for the blessing that lives within the ancient ashes that make its home inside the soil of this sacred earth. So let us be marked not for sorrow, and let us be marked not for shame. Let us be marked not for false humility or for thinking we are less than we are, but for claiming what God can do within the dust, within the dirt, within the stuff of which the world is made, and the stars that blaze in our bones, and the galaxies that spiral inside the smudge we bear.
Amen. Amen. Friends, thank you so much for joining us, and we hope to see you both at worship on Ash Wednesday and then on Sunday mornings throughout Lent. We'll see you soon.